Colossians chapter 1, we're going to be looking at verses 3 to 8 this evening. Colossians chapter 1, verses 3 to 8. Let's go ahead and read those verses. Paul is writing here to the Colossian people. Timothy is with him and helping him. Verse number 3 says, "We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, where have you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, bringing forth fruit as it doth also in you, since the day ye have heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. As ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit." This section here is dealing with Paul's prayer for the Colossian people. And have you ever noticed how frequently the people in the Bible thank God in their prayers? You read some of the prayers in the Old Testament many, many times. In fact, most of the time they would thank God for something as they begin in their prayers. Prayer, thanksgiving was a very common thing in their prayers. And Paul frequently includes thanksgiving in the opening of almost all of his books as he tells the people he's praying for them and he gives thanks to God for them. And he mentions that, and it was a common practice. And Timothy and Paul here do that again in this section. And as I was preparing for this message, the Lord reminded me that, you know, that I do not spend nearly enough time thanking God for people that I hear of that get saved. You know, when we get a letter from our missionaries, you may read a letter from Benjamin or from the Otutes, and they say, you know, there's certain people that got saved, and they might even sometimes mention the names of who they are. And we may in our minds just pause and say, well, that's a blessing. Thank you, Lord. But we don't really take much time to pray for them. And Paul here, he hears about these Colossian people, and he says, "I have been praying for you since I heard that you got saved. That is exciting to me. I've been praying for you." And so he gives us information. You know, we read there in Luke chapter 15, verse number 10, Jesus was given some illustrations regarding the lost coin and the lost sheep and the lost son. And in verse number 10, he says, "Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth." And you know, as we think about that, if there is joy in the presence of the angels, you know, we wonder, well, who is it that's given this joy? He says, it's in the presence of the angels. It may be just the way that it was translated. I'm not sure, but it sounds like it's in the midst of the angels. Didn't necessarily say it was the angels doing the joy, although they probably were. Was it the seraphims? Well, they're kind of the angels, too. It very well could be that God was rejoicing in the midst of the angels of heaven over one soul that gets saved. And, you know, if God and the angels of heaven rejoice over a soul being saved, we really ought to as well. And we ought to, in our hearts, make a big thing about this. When someone comes to Christ, really rejoice in that. And praise God and thank God for that. Now, when praying for other Christians, for what are we to be thankful? What is it that we're to be thankful for? Well, we'll find some answers to that question here in Paul's example that we're going to look at here tonight. Notice, first of all, that he tells us in verse number 4 that we are to be thankful for the person's faith, love, and hope. All right, verse number 4. "Since we heard of your faith in Christ and of the love which you have for all saints and for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven." All right, now let's just take a look at these one at a time. He thanked God for their faith. He thanked God for their faith. Now, faith in Christ is what converts the condemned sinner to become a converted saint. And so faith is knowing that Jesus Christ in a personal way. And we're all familiar with that. But knowing that Christ died on the cross for one's sins and rose again isn't what saves them. There's a lot of religious people in our community that know that. If you were to ask them, what did Jesus do when he was here on the cross, on the earth? Oh, he died on the cross and rose again. They know that. But that doesn't save them. Just that knowledge does not save. It is not until there's a personal faith in what Christ did. That's why Paul emphasized here, we're rejoicing in your faith. Not just your information you know, but your faith. That is a joy to know that you have come to know Christ by faith. You know, faith is acting upon trusted information. So that information they knew, they need to act upon that. And so when we're witnessing to people and sharing the gospel with people, we need to help them to see that it's not just believing that Jesus died and rose again, but it's acting upon that. It is putting our trust in that and saying, yes, that's what I'm depending upon. I'm not depending on myself. I'm not depending on my good works. I'm not depending on things that I've done. I'm depending on Christ. And so our trust needs to be in Him to save our souls. So when we hear that someone places their faith in Christ, we ought to rejoice. There ought to be a time of thanksgiving. We ought to stop what we're doing right then and pause and praise God and say, thank you, God, for that soul to be saved. And that was really a rebuke to my heart, because I know that different times, you know, we get notes from Benjamin and he tells people of getting saved, or the Brother Otute especially, we've heard people getting saved through his ministry. And I'll be glad for it, but I don't know that I actually take time to just stop and pause and thank God for their salvation. And that's what Paul's doing here. Thank God that they had faith, they placed their faith in Christ. But then he thanked them also for their love. All right? Now, notice again there in verse number 4, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have for all the saints. That's interesting. You know, when the Apostle Paul was converted, he was on the road to Damascus. All right, so we got Damascus up in our map. So Paul's on the road to Damascus. He's heading up to Damascus. He's almost to Damascus, and he sees this great vision from God, and he gets saved. Now, why was Paul going to Damascus? He was going up there to kill him. Kill the Christians. Capture them, kill them, whatever he could do to get rid of these Christians. He hated the Christians. And as soon as he got saved, what happened? God turned him around. And instead of wanting to kill him, now he joined with them. And he was their friend. And he loved them. And he spent time with them. And he suffered for Christ as they suffered for Christ. And so things flipped around and changed in his life. And when a person places their faith in Christ, God changes them from the inside out. And we need to rejoice in that. When someone truly gets saved and their life turns around and they no longer are going in the way they were, and now they've turned and they're coming to do what's right and glorify God, we need to rejoice in that and praise God for that. And remember, Jesus said in John 13:35 that was a mark or an identification of a believer. If we love one another. All right, so that's an indication that we know Christ as our Savior because of our love one for another. And so we need to thank God for those that love other Christians. And they've come to know Christ. Then he thanked God also for their hope. All right, verse number 5. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. Or because of the hope that is laid up for you in heaven is the idea here. He says we rejoice because of that hope that you have. You know, prior to their faith in Christ, the believers had no hope. That's the sad thing. You know, we look around in our world today. Most people have no hope. If they were to die today, they don't know where they're going to spend eternity. They have no hope of something good in the future. A lot of unbelievers just think, well, when you're dead, that's the end of the story. And that's not the way it's going to work. They have no hope. There's nothing to look forward to. And even the ones that just reject God and ignore God, they have nothing to look forward to. You go to a funeral of unbelievers, and it's a terrible thing. I don't know if you've been to many funerals like that, but I've been to some, and it's not a pleasant thing. They're crying hysterically and just hopelessness. No hope at all. And so it's a time of grief for them, but there's no hope. And when the Bible speaks of hope, you know, of course, we're not talking about a wishes. We're talking about a confident expectation. We confidently know that God's got something better for us when we die. When we die, we don't have to think that somehow, you know, I wonder what's going to happen. God tells us what's going to happen. Well, remember what he says there in 2 Corinthians 5, verse number 8? He says, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Right? So when a person passes away that knows the Lord is their Savior, their body stays here, but their soul goes to be with the Lord. And so we can rejoice in that and thank God for that. And that is a blessing. And these folk had that hope. They had that hope that they didn't have before. And looking at our troubled world, you know, from a human perspective, things don't look very good. You know, you think about what's it going to be like for our grandchildren. Oh, you know, it's bad enough now. But you think about, you know, another 20 years, what's it going to be like for then if the Lord hasn't returned yet? You know, it's not going to be a pleasant place. And those who leave God out of their picture really have no hope or no hope here and no hope in eternity. But these folk, they came to know the Lord. And because of that, Paul was rejoicing because they had faith in God and they loved the saints because God had changed their heart. And now they had hope. And he was rejoicing in that they had hope to be with God. And when we hear that, we need to rejoice. We need to rejoice. And thank God, especially, you know, I'm thinking of the mission field because that's what really kind of convicted my heart. I know I've read missionary letters and they tell about people that have gotten saved and I think, well, that was nice. But I don't stop to thank God for it, and we really, really need to do that. And I mean, if, you know, when people don't get saved very often in our congregation in this area, but when that happens, we need to rejoice. We need to rejoice and we need to be praying. Like I preached this morning, we need to be praying for the lost. And I encourage you to be praying for each other. Pray that the lost will come to Christ and that we'll be able to see some souls saved. So first of all, we see here that he was thankful for their faith, hope, and love. But then secondly, he was thankful that they had heard the gospel. Notice again in verse number 5, "For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel." So Paul was grateful that they had heard the gospel. And that is a big thing to be thankful for. They're in the middle of, don't have it on our map here, in the middle of Turkey there where Colossae was. The gospel hadn't reached there before, but now through Paul's preaching and others getting saved and traveling out with the gospel, the people of Colossae had heard the word of Christ and had been saved. And we know that the gospel, when we think about the gospel, 1 Corinthians 15 verses 3 and 4 is the most clear, concise description of the gospel, where he says there that, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried and he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures." That's just a concise description of the gospel. And they had heard that. Someone wisely said, "The gospel is only good news if it reaches the sinner in time." You think about that. You know, we talk about the gospel being good news, and it is good news, but it's not good news to somebody that dies without Christ. It's not good news to somebody who never heard. It's only good news when they get the gospel in time and they say, "That's what I need," and they trust Christ. Then that's good news. And so the Colossian people had heard the gospel and received it, and thank God. You know, when you think about your own soul and your own salvation, we need to thank God that someone shared the gospel with you and that you heard the gospel. And we can rejoice in that and then rejoice when we hear that others have heard the gospel as well. What a blessing. So Paul's rejoicing that they had heard the gospel and the word of truth. And then he thanked God for the witness who told them. Look down at verse number 7. He says, "As ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ." So God chose to use Christians to spread the gospel. Now, God could have used other means to spread the gospel. He could have made up something new. He could have just caused us to see writing in the sky or hear voices or give everybody dreams. Or he could have done all kinds of things to share the gospel with people, but God chose to send Christians out to share the gospel with others. And Epaphras here was the one who shared the gospel with them. It's very likely that Epaphras started the church and was the pastor of the church. Many Bible teachers believe that to be the case, and it certainly seems that way as you read the passage here. Paul calls him here a dear fellow servant. The word "dear" there is a word that means beloved. He's my beloved fellow slave. It's an interesting word. Doulos is the word slave, and it's sundulos. Sun, it means together with. He says he's my together with bondslave. And so they were a bondslave of Christ together. They were dear brothers in Christ. So Paul was rejoicing, and Epaphras was a brother in Christ who was close to him. And then he also calls him a faithful minister of Christ. And this probably was the idea that he had faithfully ministered the gospel. The word minister there is the same word that is translated deacon or servant in other places. And so he was a servant or a deacon or a minister. And in this case, probably the minister that led them to Christ and was preaching the gospel to them. So here Epaphras was the one who very likely took the gospel to them. And he was rejoicing in that. He's not only rejoiced that they heard, but he's rejoicing that there was someone like that that took the gospel to them. And that's something we can rejoice in. You know, when our missionaries lead someone to Christ, we can thank God that he sent someone to that village to preach the gospel to them, and they got saved. What a blessing. What a blessing. And we can rejoice in that. We ought to rejoice in that. And then, you know, it's also a challenge to us to keep tracts with us regularly and keep them in our pockets. And as we go to the shops and things of that nature, to look for opportunities to pass out tracts and to give them out to people. Another thing that we can all do, and you need to be innovative and figure out a way to do this. We all, from time to time, have people knock on our door. Maybe somebody delivering a package, maybe a salesperson, or maybe, you know, just someone doing a survey, or maybe a cults. They knock on your door. You need to be ready for that. And years ago, when we were first married, my mom made Melody and I a little rack that was for envelopes, letters. You know, so you write your letters. That was back in the days when everybody wrote by hand. And so you write your letters, and you stick it in this little butterfly envelope that just sticks out a little bit, and you'd stick them all in there. And then when you go to the shops, you could take them, post them, things of that nature. All right, so, well, we had this, but we don't use it for envelopes anymore. So we put it next to the door, and we keep tracks in that. So it's right next to the front door, and so if somebody knocks on the door, quick, you grab one of those and answer the door, and you got your ammunition right in your hand. And that's really a helpful thing. And there's things that we can do also. You can go on a website called GodSimplePlan.com or something like that, and you can print off God's Simple Plan of Salvation in about 20 different languages. They've got a whole bunch of different languages. You can print them just on an A4 sheet like this. But, you know, so we try to keep one up in there that's in Chinese, and one, you know, I need to put one up in there in Japanese, because there's one of the delivery guys that looks like he's Japanese. So I need to have one of those up in there. So you can grab one of those and say, can you read this? Yeah, okay, here, have a read. All right? But that's something that, you know, because you give it to their own, in their own language, they're more likely to read it. But use your imagination. Come up with ways of being a witness like that. But we need to remember that we need to thank God for those who witnessed. Thank God for those who told us. You know, I'm grateful that I grew up in a home where I was taken to church early on and heard the gospel from the time I was an infant. And God worked in my heart as a young child. And I'm grateful for that. But others of you, that wasn't the case. You heard the gospel later on. And we can rejoice that God allowed us to have that privilege. And so we can thank God for that. But then we find, thirdly, that Paul is thankful for the fruit in their lives. Verse number 6. Which has come unto you as it is in all the world, bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you. All right? So he says it brings forth fruit. The gospel produced fruit in their lives. As they heard the gospel, it changed their lives. It brought about a change in their lives, this fruit that came about in their lives. And a person cannot truly receive saving gospel and remain the same person. I mean, a person that says he trusted Christ and nothing happens in their life, nothing changes, and they still talk like they used to and act like they used to and do the things they used to, and nothing's changed, nothing happened. All right, there's got to be a change. And we can rejoice in the fruit. And Paul's rejoicing here that there was fruit in their lives that bringeth forth fruit as it does in you also, he says. He says this has happened all around the world. Now, I don't know that Paul was talking about the entire globe. He was talking about the known world in their time. He had taken the gospel all over the area of Turkey and Greece, and it spread all through that area, and it spread throughout northern Africa and all that known world. They'd heard the gospel, and everywhere it went and people were getting saved, it was changing lives. And Paul was a prime example of the changed life. When he trusted Christ, his life turned upside down. And remember when he was preaching there, where was that? Was that in Ephesus? Where the big cry and complaint was that these men have come hither that have turned the world upside down. But what it was is that their lives have changed. That's what was turned upside down. It wasn't that they turned anything literally upside down. It was the lives of people had changed. And so he was rejoicing that there would have been fruit in their lives. And then he rejoices for the continued gospel fruit. Notice he goes on there. He says, as it does also in you since the day ye heard of it and knew the grace of God and truth. In other words, since the day, he's saying it started when you got saved and it's still going on. And he's rejoicing in that. The God is working in your life and changing. And that is something we can rejoice in and praise God for when you read missionary letters and he's saying, you know, that this person is still growing in the Lord and we're thankful for that. They're still coming to church faithfully and praise God for that. And we need to get more involved in rejoicing and thanking God for the good things we hear through our missionary letters and things of that nature of what God is doing. And so we need to rejoice and be grateful in these great things. And they had heard the gospel and it came to their ears and they listened to it attentively and they knew the grace of God in truth. And God was doing a change in their lives. And that was a great blessing to the Apostle Paul. And so he rejoiced in that. You know, our lives really, as Christians, if we get to the place where we start floating along and we're not moving forward, we're getting stagnant. And we need to make sure that that doesn't happen. And yet, sometimes it's easy to take place in our lives. We need to be aware of that. God wants us to be continually growing. And so, we should be rejoicing and thanking God when we hear of the growth in Christians' lives. But then lastly, he rejoiced that he heard of their love for God. All right? Notice there in verse number 8, he says, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. All right, so he's talking about Epaphras. Epaphras had traveled to Rome and had declared unto Paul, or told Paul and Timothy, about the love of the Spirit that had taken place in the lives of the Colossian people. He had revealed that to them. And they rejoice because they heard of that love. You know, all this that we've looked at here tonight, it overlaps, but he couldn't rejoice in their faith and their hope and their love if he hadn't heard about that from Epaphras. He wouldn't have known. And so he was rejoicing not only in what he knew, he was also rejoicing in the fact that he knew it, that God had allowed him to know that. You know, it reminds me, I think all of us are familiar with the story of the little old man in Sydney that was passing out tracts. You all familiar with that little story? Have you heard that? Well, you'd know it if you heard it. You obviously didn't hear it. I'll have to try to find it and send it to you. There's this little old man that for years he passed out tracts in Sydney. He went down to the busy part of the town and he just stood there and passed out tracts, tried to witness to people, and never heard any positive results of it for years and years and years. All right? And then near his death, he was getting an old man, not able to do that much anymore, and a preacher found him and looked him up, and the preacher had tracked down and found scores of people that had been saved, and some were in the ministry and preaching the gospel, and he told that old man that it was all because of the tracts that they had received. What a blessing. What a blessing. And so, we never know. You know, the tracts that you've passed out, you might never hear that somebody got saved from it. But we don't know. And God may reveal that to us one day. But we need to keep being faithful. And so Paul was rejoicing that he was able to hear. It is exciting to hear that. You know, nothing more joyful than to hear somebody come and say, you know, you shared with me years ago about this or that. I remember one time it was a great joy to my heart. I had been to a church on one of our furloughs and preached to the church. And 4 years later, or 5 or 6 years later, when we went back to that church, there was a young man there, and he came up to me and he says, God called me to the mission field the last time you were here, and I'm preparing for the mission field. I'm getting ready to go. I thought, wow, that's awesome. You know, it's encouraging when you can hear that God had used you in some way to be a blessing to others. And Paul was rejoicing here because he had a little bit of a hand in all this, because he had been preaching there in Ephesus, and the gospel went out from Ephesus. Whether it was actually Paul that took it to Colossae, or whether it was people that Paul had trained who took it to Colossae, God doesn't tell us that. But he had a little part in their hearing the gospel. So we need to, we can rejoice in that when God allows us to hear some good things like that. And, you know, that's one of the things that when, even for each other, you know how much of an encouragement it is when you hear something takes place that is a blessing to you. And, you know, we need to encourage each other. You know, a lot of times preacher's the last one to hear anything, you know. And, you know, somebody does, this morning somebody told me after the service that the message was a blessing to him. And, you know, that really encouraged my heart. And I thank God for that. Because we need that encouragement. We need to encourage each other. And we talked about that at the couples dinner the other night, of just being an encouragement to our spouse. But we need to encourage one another as Christians as well. And so God does not always allow us to hear that, but when that does, we need to rejoice. When we hear of a missionary's converts, we need to rejoice that God was enabled us to hear that. That was a blessing we're able to hear that. And we can rejoice as Paul did in these things. And then thank God that they know God's love. He mentions there at the end of the verse there that declared unto us your love in the Spirit. All right, dealing here with exactly what that love in the Spirit is, he doesn't really detail that. But it's obviously their spiritual love, their walk with the Lord here. And he was rejoicing in that. We should never have a jealous spirit. You know, Paul could have said, well, you know, I wish I would have had more of a direct impact on leading them to Christ. And no, he didn't have any jealousy there. He was rejoicing that these people came to know Christ. And that's really what we need to do as well. It doesn't matter whether we had a direct impact on it or whether somebody else got all the praise they're going for. It doesn't matter. Rejoice that they came to Christ and that one day they'll be with us in heaven. And so that's something we need to rejoice in and thank God for. So, when praying for other Christians, what are we to be thankful for? Well, we've looked at it here tonight. He's outlined it for us. We saw here that Paul, first of all, was thankful for their faith, love, and hope. And he was then thankful for that they had heard the gospel. He was thankful that there was fruit in their lives that continued to have bear fruit. And he also was thankful that he was able to hear about all this so that he could rejoice. And he was thankful about all these things. So these gives us some great ideas of how we can be thankful to the Lord when we hear of good reports of people being saved or people growing or people doing the things that they ought to be doing spiritually. So we need to rejoice in that. And, you know, I challenge you to just take and tuck this message away in your heart. And every time, you know, you hear of a conversion, to just take the time and say, I need to thank God for that. And rejoice in that. And, you know, we may not have had anything to do with it, but we can rejoice because someone came to Christ. There's joy in heaven over that, and we can have joy in our hearts too. And Paul did. He rejoiced and was thankful to God for what he had done in the lives of the Colossians.